Hello, hello. Welcome back to the In Our Black Opinion podcast. Clearly, you have not tired of our voices yet. And if you're a newbie listener, we apologise in advance.
Three black TV producers on a late night Zoom and two cheap bottles of wine later, this podcast was born.
We are ready to chat all things from politics, entertainment, social issues and TV.
Plus everything in between, including our black perspective on life.
I'm Tiana, aka T.
I'm Sienna.
And I'm Gamma. So get ready for some unfiltered lulls, some talk and tears.
As we share our personal experiences.
This is
the In Our Black Opinion podcast.
How long since we've all three of us have been together? I think it was literally last summer, Notting Hill Carnival.
Oh my God. Oh, let's not talk about Notting Hill Carnival.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Shout out to Susie for giving us her gorgeous house in Notting Hill.
Guys, you know that rum punch? It killed me. Like, I was drinking it like it was lemonade. It was ridiculous.
Oh yeah. And I just remember Gamma turning up to the Notting Hill Carnival party with frozen chips and cheese.
Listen. Right, okay.
And then you took your frozen cheese and chips home because you didn't want no one eating it.
Yeah, I pay good money for those frozen chips. Why am I leaving it for someone else to eat?
30 degree heat and she walks up to the house with frozen chips.
But, bruv, were they not frozen still? You can't be shaming me on this podcast, okay? People, I need to kind of keep my airs and graces. People need to still think I'm, you know, a bougie bitch out here. Ladies, before we get started on this week's topic, which is being black in the TV and film industry, can we please talk about the most recent case of black mistaken identity? So let me explain it. So Dane Baptiste, the comedian, was sent a press picture of himself to sign off by a production company. Imagine he opened up his email ready to see, you know, a cute picture of himself looking fly, be like, I'm signing off on this. This is me. Only to be met with a picture of Richard Blackwood. And for those of you who don't know who Dane Baptiste is or who Richard Blackwood is, Google for context. Because they look,
to be fair, they look nothing alike. They look nothing alike.
They've got beards, guys.
They don't.
And they're black men.
I looked it up again and I was like, I really don't see.
I mean, in what world do they look alike? Because I'm so confused. Like, if you type a name in Google, obviously I don't know how the Google tags work, but I've done it and the picture of Dane Baptiste comes up. So you go, okay, cool, this is what Dane Baptiste looks like, but I want like a high-res picture, let me jump on Getty. So why not have a window of what Dane looks like? Then while you're searching for like a really high picture on Getty or any other picture database website to cross-reference?
Well, mate, I actually have a story there because this happened to me. I kid you not, I was asked to put together a biography on a celebrity that was coming in for a TV show, and I put a photo at the top and everyone signed it off and was like, yeah, this looks great, we'll give it to them when they arrive and their agent comes. I was like, fine. Got it all printed out on glossy paper, the lot, put it all in the room for the prep, and when we were all sitting in the meeting, the girl just goes, oh, this is a really nice photo. And she went, but it's not me. What do you mean it's not you? It comes up when you Google you. And she went, I know. She went, you're not the first person that's done that. But for some reason, like, Getty had tagged her as this person. So I blame the search engines for generalizing what black people look like.
Oh my God, no. Search engines have just a really, really bad history. Remember when if you Googled black woman or black person and like an ape used to come up?
Oh yeah. Or like when it's that, when you, if you Google even now, like unprofessional hairstyles for work.
Yeah,
like,
or black break. Probably me, mate. That's what I feel like. I expect to see my face in there. Ridiculous.
So, as well as this lovely podcast, our day job is actually being TV producers. I know there are people out there that trust us to pick up a camera, come up with ideas, or find lovely people for some of your fave TV shows. And I've been working in TV for 6 years. So, Sienna, T, how long have you guys been in this amazing industry?
I have been working in the industry since I was like 17, so like 7 years now.
I love the fact you had to count and work that out.
Yeah, I was just counting. That's why I went silent, because in my head I was like, please tell me that's right or someone will pick me up on it.
I had to work mine out as well. So I have been working in the telly industry for over 12 years. Yeah, grandma in the room, I'm the jaded one.
I mean, between the three of us, we've got quite a few years of experience. And over the past couple of months, we have noticed that there has been a shift, a very much needed shift in the industry, where people are now comfortable enough to talk about their experiences in TV, which we are going to do ourselves. So just like the wider world, our industry has recently committed to do better when it comes to diversity and inclusion. And, you know, we love to see it. You know, companies and broadcasters have committed to making the industry a safer and inclusive place for Black and brown folks. But, and this is like a soft but, over the past couple of months, it's become clear how bad and unpleasant it has been at times for the Black, Asian and minority ethnic individuals who work in our industry, as loads of people have started openly sharing their experience. And this is going to sound so weird, but I've kind of found comfort in people sharing their experience, because it validates some of the things that I've been thinking in my head. There's sometimes when something happens and I question it and I'm just like, no, I'm just being silly. But to know that other people having exactly the same experience, it's like, wow, there's obviously quite a big issue in our industry. But like I said, companies have committed to tackle it. And there's this amazing Instagram page that I absolutely live for, and I think all T and Sienna will agree. It's called Black in TV, and they have created this amazing safe space for Black and brown folks and other ethnic minorities to submit their experiences, which Black in TV then posts on the page. And it's bringing to light many of the hurtful and uncomfortable situations we've found ourselves in and had to deal with whilst working. And we are actually going to read out some of these posts. But before we get to that, how have you guys felt over your 6, 7, 12 years of working in TV? How have you felt as a Black woman?
I mean, is this a therapy session? Because it kind of needs to be. If we're going to go in like that, do you have 12 years for me to cover it all? No, I don't think so.
I mean, The only Black superior I've ever had, Black kind of woman producer, was Tiana, who is in this podcast. So I have never had a boss that looks like me or anything other than T, and we decided to start a podcast. So
I just think, you know, the kind of excitement that we got from the Black in TV Instagram group, it's the same excitement you get when there's another person of color on the team who gets it. There's someone in the room who's gonna, you know, receive your side eye when someone says something racist. There's someone in the room who you can have a little debrief after. So that kind of Instagram group for me was like, yes, there's more than one person in the room, we've got a massive room and we can drag everyone. But they make it quite clear that it's not a witch hunt, which is great. It's just kind of a space where you can just express what you've heard or things that have been said to you in the TV industry as someone who's Black without naming names. And it's really refreshing because you can say everything that you've heard rather than having to hold back. It's just great.
It's I think what's evident from like loads of people who are now, you know, coming forward and talking about their experience, or some of the posts on Blackened TV and, you know, some of the comments, is it's that dread, that feeling that you feel like you can't say anything, because you do look around the room and you're like, oh, I am the only Black person here, or I am the only Asian person in the room, or, you know, I am the only ethnic minority in the room. And I mean, before we decided that this was going to be the subject of this podcast, there was that slight dread of like, oh, if we talk, are people going to think it's a witch hunt? Or if we actually talk about our experiences, do you think we might not be able to work again? Which, I'm not going to lie, still got that thought in the back of my head. But at the end of the day, it's now to speak up.
I second that.
Too often we've had to just sit there and, you know, take it. And I will, there is a post on Blackened TV, which I am going to waive my privacy and just say that that was one of my posts. And it was literally coming into a room to steal a biscuit. So the rest of the team were having a brainstorm and I was doing something else. And I could tell they were on the break. And I was like, oh, little snacks. So I went in, opened the door, took a biscuit. And then I was met with one of my colleagues who, with no indication of what was the previous chat beforehand, but just openly going, so Gamma, what do you think of the N-word? And I was so lost for words, because I was just like, what? Like, I mean, I still had the biscuit in hand. I didn't even get to eat the biscuit. I didn't even get to enjoy my biscuit. But it was just like, he said that with such confidence. Like, so you, as the only Black person in this team, actually as the only Black person in this part of the office, what do you think of the N-word? And it's that constant feeling of sometimes you do become the voice of the whole Black community when you're in the team. I mean, one of my other favourite posts, but it's the post of someone being told that the show needed diversity, so they should go and hang outside Nando's and Primark. And you're just like, someone senior felt really comfortable enough to say that to a person of colour, like, to go stand outside Nando's because clearly all Black people eat chicken, and go outside
Primark. Oh my God, that's my post. That's my post. That's that me.
Or take the flaunty.
Yeah, well, that's not a first time. But yeah, what was I working on? Just, I'm not even going to reveal it. But yeah, standard. They were just like, we need Black people. And obviously, eyes dart straight towards me. And why don't you go and stand outside Nando's or maybe Primark? And I kid you not, I was stood outside the Croydon, because obviously that's where Black people go. Croydon, Primark, just beckoning Black folk to be on something that they were never going to sign up to. I stood outside that Primark quite a bit, kind of trying to get Black people, actually. I don't think we've ever had any success, but that seems to be the mecca. That seems to be where they think we all hang. The awkwardness in the room was just kind of wanting to say, are you actually joking, though? But with no one to back you up, you're kind of just, you know what TV is like, you're being sent to Nando's. Like, there's no kind of, that's it.
I remember working on a show where the exec producer said that we couldn't have a man from the whole of West Africa, because last year someone from West Africa got to the final. It actually, like, it is shocking. Like, when you say it out loud, you're like, shit, this is bad.
It's that fear. I think that fear of staying mute is felt. I mean, I've spoken to, like, my other Black friends who work in TV, and there's that thing of, you've got to stay mute. It's almost like you need to know your place. And it's so weird that we all feel that way. And you're just like, oh, okay. So you are in these awkward situations. And if you say something, oh, no, God, you riled the bear. Oh, here she goes again, talking about race and diversity. And you can see it in people's faces. Like, it's, people aren't as good as they think about hiding their facial expressions when you are talking about the lack of diversity in the show. or, you know, shows that you've watched, you can see it. Like, I've had people actually physically roll their eyes, and it's like, I'm so sorry. I'm just saying it would be nice to see myself in this TV show that I'm watching, that we are discussing, that you're saying is such an amazing show, you wish you had made it. But it's like, oh yeah, I wish I had made it too, but I also wish that I could have also been a part of it on screen. And it's that constant kind of like, you just know, like, tell me if I'm wrong, but you just know when new shows get announced and then there's a trailer, you're like, do you mentally count how many black or brown or Asian people you see? Like, in my head, I mentally count.
I kind of do, but I'm so used to it now. I just go, no, that's not for me. Like, I've got to the stage where if something hasn't got any diversity, I've just accepted it's not for me. I'm not going to watch anything that doesn't represent me in any way anymore. Like, I've had too many years of it. And I don't think we should have to. Like, one of my friends, he is a white guy, and he's kind of signed up as an ally. And he was talking to me about I May Destroy You. And I hadn't even noticed that the whole cast was black. Like, I've been watching it and enjoying it. It wasn't the first thing that came to my mind. But the interesting thing is, it came to his. Whereas when I'm watching a show that's all white people, I don't, like, you know, I'm kind of expected to just accept that they're all characters that I will probably relate to in some way. I'll be able to watch, enjoy the narrative. But if the characters are diverse, there's kind of a different reaction to that, which I think, yeah, is interesting and telling. Whereas we're just kind of sure. meant to watch things that don't represent us in any way and like it.
I always find, as soon as there's a black woman in the cast, and tell me if I'm wrong, but somehow they are either edited or amped up or produced to be the villain. For me, I think the age of, like, the, you know, the black girl with attitude, the best friend, you know, she can, you know, she'll have your back any day, any place. Come, let's go, take your earrings out. Really needs to go, because even in unscripted shows, that is, those are the black characters, the black real people that get put on these shows.
But I feel like back in the day, you know, they were the only roles that were kind of there for black people. Like, the main thing that sticks out of my head of something that I've watched recently, and I'm like, shit, that really was a trope that, like, was exhausted, was Bring It On, All or Nothing. Do you remember?
Where this white girl goes to a new
high school that is, like, in a rougher area, and she's like, there's, like, metal detectors, and she's terrified, and everyone's black, and then, like, I think it's Solange that is, like, so sassy black female character. And yeah, it's just, you watch it now and you're like, god, this is like, this has not aged well. Like,
no, but that brings us back to another black in TV post. But yeah, so the one that I wanted to read out was, ooh, she looks like trouble, said about a black woman applying for a daytime quiz show. And it's like, dude, she's actually applying to spend 5 days doing a quiz show. I don't think she's going to be a handful. She's not going to take her earrings. She's not going to come for anyone. She just wants to win her little money. Yeah. But then it's just those moments. It's like, what is it? You're literally looking at a picture of her. The only information you have been given is that she's black, but it's the reaction is, ooh, she looks like trouble.
My thing is, when that stereotype of, like, you know, sassy fierceness is then used as, like, oh yeah, you know, Gamma, you're feisty, you're sassy, you can handle anything. Why don't you go and tell that person we need this and that? And I'm just like, what? Like, it's just that assumption. It's that assumption that, you know, we're ready to Vaseline our face up, take our earrings out and go to war.
I once worked on something and there was another black girl on the team, right? And we're both pretty confident ladies, and we saw eye to eye and, like, a lot of things, but we're both pretty confident, right? There was a number of other white female confident people on the team. And there was this one time where we were chatting to each other and we were just having a conversation. And after work, my white male casting producer said, are you two okay? Like, Are you all right with her? Because I feel like you're falling out, and like everyone on the team's a bit like nervous, like we think that you're falling out. And I was like so confused. I was like, oh my God, what does she think? Does she think there's a problem? I was like really confused. I was like, there's not a problem. Like, we're fine. And when I spoke to her about it, there was nothing on her end either. And what had happened was he saw two confident black women talking to each other, and he assumed that was it, that we had a fallout of some sort. And it was funny because I don't know whether he assumes that we're both kind of aggressive types or what. I think as black women, we all know that you're seen as intimidating, even if you're the victim in a situation, right? So you cannot get upset or angry about things because people see you as an aggressor always. And it's so horrible. It's so sad. Like, that goes back even to when I think about being at school and bullies, you know, you'd call them out on stuff and you'd tell a teacher. But as soon as white little blonde girls would cry, and I was a taller black girl, it was, you were never seen as a victim. And it's horrible.
It's so hard to be a black woman in our industry and be the victim. We always come out as, no, you're being rude. No, 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 you're being too sassy. No, 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 your place. No, you're overconfident.
Yes, it's happened to me, and Sienna was actually there, and it's actually one of the hardest moments I've ever had in my whole TV career. So it was on my first ever producer role, and it's really, really not easy being in charge of a team when you're a black woman, because people resist anything you say without even trying to. There's this natural kind of resistance to instruction from someone. So we were on a really short time frame, and me and Sienna actually had to catch a flight back to London. And I was trying to kind of, you know, keep all of the discussions really concise and get to the point and make sure that everyone was instructed. And all of a sudden, one of my team members, who was only assistant producer, lost the plot and shouted at me and went, "You can't keep undermining me," and just shouted at me. And I was really shocked and was like, "Well, what do you mean? I'm just saying what we need to do going ahead." And he turned to the whole rest of the office and went, "She is undermining everything I say." And I was just shocked because I've never seen that in my whole career. I've never seen anyone say that their producer is undermining them. And it's one of those moments when I was like, it's because I'm black, because it's my job to control this and to say what goes and what doesn't. But because I'm black, it's become a big issue. So everything I say was a personal dig at him. Like, it wasn't just saying we're moving on. It was kind of like, seemed to be sassy, seemed to be feisty, seemed to be rude. But I was just under time restraints. So, you know, and it was really hard to deal with because obviously I had Sienna on my team and I didn't want to show her this is how black women get treated in the industry. And but also I had no space to fight my corner in that situation. So it was really, really, really hard, and it has tainted my career. It's made me kind of reluctant to go back into roles where I do have to manage a team.
But you know what? Being there, I remember so clearly what happened because it wasn't at me. So I remember just watching the whole thing kind of unfold, and we were pitching people we wanted to be on a TV show, and Tiana said, "Be very quick, we've got to get a flight," right? So we each had to take a turn and pitch as quickly as we could. And things were going slowly. So you were just like, okay, quick, just name, age, where they're from, bit about them, quick, 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 which we're all used to in TV, right? So I remember it just happening. And then all of a sudden, that person just flipped. But what was worse is that as soon as he did that, somebody else on the team agreed and they all comforted these two. And I remember watching you and just feeling so sorry for you. And I remember feeling so like upset and hurt for you that this happened in a public place. It was horrible. And then for them to go outside and calm down together with like other members of the team comforting them, I thought, this is the wrong way around. Like,
I didn't get comforted, and I actually had to go back in and try and salvage the situation and be the responsible adult and be like, this has just happened, but we are being professional, so I won't take any of this to heart. but horrible, not a single moment of comfort, because again, like Gamma was saying, I was the person who was out of her place, bullish black woman, regardless of what the actual circumstances were.
And my hat went off to you so much when that happened, because I thought, the balls to go, the dignity that you, you know what I mean, to walk out there and apologize to these people. It was just, I mean, it was admirable, but it was disgusting, because when white producers act that way, they're seen as being, oh, a ball breaker, like a badass. And like, they're admired in a way, but also terrifying, but not in a way that you are to them. It's weird. Like, people want to be them. And but with us and with you in that moment, it was like there was no respect. That's what it came down to. There was absolutely not an inch of respect.
I just really want, you know, black individuals who work in TV who are listening to this, just to not to find comfort, but just kind of like, I think the days of muting ourselves and kind of having like this fake persona because we're too scared to, you know, annoy the powers that be, and not by even doing anything, but we annoy the powers that be because we don't fit the mold of what they, or the stereotype of what they think a black person should be. And I just think moving forward, there isn't, it just can't happen anymore. And again, this isn't a witch hunt. When we are, you know, I'm very grateful that I get to work in, you know, an industry that I absolutely, absolutely adore, like absolutely love. And I'm lucky to, you know, have this career. But then on the flip side, I want to be able to be my true self. And I have sometimes felt like you can't be too black. Do you know what I mean? But then you have to be black. You have to be, you know, you need to know the newest grime song that's, you know, just entered the charts. You need to know, you know, is it Morley's or is it PFC? You need to know every single, you know, black talent there is out there, because when a talent list is being put together and there are no black names, we must go to the only black person in the team. Like, there's a lot of pressure to be black in TV, if this makes sense, and being black in TV.
Like, yeah, like
overly blacky black.
Like, they want your black to be resourceful but not problematic. Like,
girl, we need to get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And trademark it and sell it, because that's what it is. It's almost like, I just, for me, what has stuck for me in TV that has been said to me was when I first, you know, got my first job in development, and I was so excited. I was like, I didn't really know what development was. I was like, oh my God, what is this? Like, there's an actual team that actually, you know, a full team that comes up with all these TV ideas, and got really excited. And I had someone casually turn around to me and be like, well, you know, you'll always have a job in TV because you're BAME. So not only are you saying that my race equates to this umbrella term, hun, I'm black, not BAME, but you're also saying that I will only ever have a job to tick a box. And it's, you know, that was my first, that was said to me in 2016. And it has stuck with me.
I just got that recently, actually. So I met up with a friend of mine that I haven't seen since sick form. And anyway, when I was in sick form, I was head girl, right? It came as a shock because I wasn't the most confident girl, but it made me way more confident than I was. Like, I was called Silent Sienna for a few years while I was at school, right? I was a bit of a mute. But sick form, becoming head girl, literally brought me out my shell in ways that, you know, I'm really grateful for. It forced me to public speak, and look, we're doing a podcast now. So, but I met up with this guy from sick form, and we were having a drink and we were chatting about reminiscing about sick form stuff. And he just went, oh, have you been feeling about the George Floyd stuff? Blah, blah, blah. We're having a long chat about it. And then he went, yeah, you know what? There is something that, like, I want to say, but like, I don't want to upset you. And I was like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, you can say, I had a few too many glasses of wine. I was like, tell me what you think. And he went, do you think that you were head girl because you were black? And I was like, And I was like, and I just, at the time I was so embarrassed. So I just went, I don't know, maybe. And then the more that I thought about it as the days went by, it really upset me because I was like, that's one thing I've always had that I'm like, oh, I'm so proud of myself that I did that at school. And this guy just took it away, that comment that like meant nothing to him. And like, whether it's true or not, like, we'll never know. And I guess that's the hardest part with like, the same as what you said, Gams, you'll never know if you've got a job because you're black or because you're good at your job. Like, you'd like to think it's because you're good at your job. But yeah, when he said it, it just, it left a really horrible taste. And like, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it.
So, I've had it said to me on my first job, and I just take it now. It's another tool of oppression, because it's not true. We know that once we do get that job, whether you've ticked the box or not, you're going to be the one staying the longest, working the hardest, producing the most results. So you're not there to tick a box. There's a whole other people on the team who are ticking boxes and not doing anything, because we always have to work harder than everyone else because we have that on our shoulders anyway. So we will never, ever just be ticking a box. We're always going to work hard. So my advice to anyone who has had that said to them is just ignore it and know that it's absolutely not true.
All I'm saying is that just that shit can't happen anymore. Like, it really can't, because it's soul destroying. It's, you know, you're missing out on having amazing content makers because of like stupid, you know, I wasn't say unconscious bias, but recently I've seen it's actually quite conscious with some of the things that I've seen on Facebook that other people who work in the industry have casually and comfortably written about either George Floyd or, you know, police brutality. You know, there's resentment on the shop floor for visible diversity. Like, come again? And you're just like, really? Really? Like,
I think people use the unconscious bias way too much to kind of get, you know, avoid shouldering responsibility for the fact that they actually are a bit racist.
And that is a bit conscious. I think unconscious is a word that allows you to hide behind things. I don't agree with the term unconscious.
No, I think, you know, there's a degree of that because it's filtered, you know, through our media, through loads of things. But I think, you know, there are certainly aspects where people aren't conscious, but a lot of it is fucking conscious. A lot of it.
Staying silent and letting it happen and watching it happen, you are just as guilty. So, you know, again, I'm quite excited, very excited to see how all these commitments and pledges are going to work out. You know, broadcasters are, like BBC and Channel 4 have set up, you know, diversity commissioning pots, which will go to working with, you know, Black and Asian and minority ethnic-led production companies. Really excited. They're going to work with Black content makers. And I just want in 3, 4, 5 years to see a shift, because right now there are amazing, you know, Black content makers that are stuck at this level, like almost middle management. So like almost like the middle part. So they work out, they come up through these schemes and then that's it. That's it. It's like, oh yeah, you know, we're only doing it for show. You guys can come and work, but you only can do it at this level. And I just want to see just like a shift, a change, to the point where, you know, you're not sitting in the room and you're the only Black person, like sitting in the room and then you're like, oh yeah, hi, or sitting in the room where you're the only person that comes from a working class background. Like, it just needs to change. I think we have the tools to change it, but it's about being willing to change it. And I think because these companies have been so public with their pledges and statements, like, we actually have something to be like, well, you know, in 2020, that year we do not like talking about, you said X, Y, Z, and, you know, it's 2 years on, or it's a year and a half on, and ain't shit changed. So, you know, we want receipts. You've got to come with receipts. You can't just come with pledges anymore. You have to prove and show that you are doing exactly what you said. And for me personally, I just want the bullshit to end. But like, what do you two want from the industry? What do you want to see?
For me, I want to see more Black
and BAME background, people in positions of senior, in senior positions, you know, I think that's the main thing for me, because, you know, it starts from the top down in a lot of these companies, in what they choose to present to commissioners, in who they sign off on being their talent and their cast. It starts from the top. Like, I'm sick of going into a company that prides themselves on diversity and seeing that their only diversity are runners and support staff. That's not being, you know, that's not holding yourself to the highest standards. Like, there are Black people and people from BAME backgrounds that are qualified in being higher positions, but they are just not given jobs, and that needs to be looked at. And I respect that people like Channel 4, you know, are doing these diversity commissioning kind of schemes where they're opening the doors up, but this should have been done a long time ago. And I'm sick of going to TV companies where they talk to commissioners that are 25, 30 year old white guys in glasses that all look like they could have started Facebook. And it's just, it's frustrating. It's like, you know, we're creating TV shows for people that are our demographic, and yet nobody at the top is that demographic. It's annoying. So for me, that would be the main thing. I would love, you know, to not be the only person in a position, in like a senior position, in the next like 20 years.
I 100% agree with that, as someone whose face is right up against the glass ceiling herself. So I guess I would add that I would just love for the industry to just recognize that, you know, Black creatives can make stuff for people who aren't Black. It's not, we don't just have to make our stuff. We can make anything. So, you know, and it's white creatives don't just make things for white people, and Asian creatives don't. We, as a creative, you are creative. You can make things that people are going to enjoy. I think Michaela Cole has shown that. And I think there's just a bit more trust that you don't have to just cater to your own race for something to be successful, and get people in and trust that they're going to be good and trust that they're going to do their job and just relax about it all. Because, well, we shouldn't be at the stage when people are going to turn something off because somebody of a different race made it. And that's where I think we need to move forward.
I mean, and I just want to say massive thank you to the BAME TV Task Force, who are taking this fight further from just commissioners and broadcasters in the industries, and actually taking the fight to government, because I think everyone's just sick and tired. Like, we're just like tired of proving that we are just as good as our white counterparts, our white colleagues, but still being made to feel like we've still got hundreds of miles to run just to be promoted from researcher to assistant producer, from assistant producer to producer. And we are here, like, we are ready to make content and ready to just basically do what we love doing. And I just want to see that shift. And I really, really, really hope that these aren't empty promises. And I also want, you know, non-Black people or non-Asian people who are working in TV not to feel threatened, not to feel like I've had it openly said that because everyone's on this push of diversity that, you know, white people will be extinct from this industry. And when you read stuff like that or you hear stuff like that, you're like, what? First of all, as it's always pointed out, you know, we only make up a certain percentage of the population. So we can't take all the jobs. What we're saying is that we need to be included in the jobs. And for that's sure. What we want to see.
And just going back to that quickly before we finish, like, it makes me so sad to see that T feels like you've reached the glass ceiling, considering you're one of the most highly educated, like, creative people I know in TV. Most of the bosses I've had have no way of being in your level in terms of education, insight, creativity. So it's actually baffling. And it's like, I mean, where did you go? Cambridge?
Do not say that. I went to
Oxford.
I went to Oxford, yeah.
So she went to Oxford and you feel like you've hit the glass ceiling. And that is just so sad. If you were white and you went to Oxford, you'd be running a TV company right now. That's the sad reality of it. it upsets me to hear that you think that, and something needs to change. But I feel like we've definitely given people an insight into being Black in TV.
This will, you know, it's what we do as our day job, and it's our passion. So we will obviously talk about it again. But before we end today's episode, we would like to also give another massive shout out to Black in TV, because for me personally, I feel like they have created a safe space for people to say their truth without feeling like, oh shit, if I say this, I'm never going to work again. Because, you know, you are doing the work. You are part of a bigger fight and you are holding a mirror up to our industry. So whoever you are, Black in TV, thank you so much. But thank you for tuning in to another episode of In Our Black Opinion. It's been a pleasure to host you.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, and tune in to the next episode.
I'm Gamma.
I'm T.
I'm Sienna.
Peace out.